Reading from Genesis 11 today, verse 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." And so the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the whole earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. All right. Sometimes you go through a sermon series like what we did with the book of Romans, and you go into passages and you dig deep and you bring out what it says, you explain passages. And sometimes, as a preacher, as a teacher, what I really long to do is see something in this world, see a dynamic that's happening, see a topic that's coming up, and address that. See what would the word say about that? And that's what we're going to do in this sermon series. It is called Artificial Inheritance. I've really looked forward to this. I've studied for this a while. I'll be there. And we're kicking that series off with a short clip from a movie based on a book written in 1979 called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I just thought it would be fun to start with this because what once was science fiction now is becoming reality more and more. I love the scene where they're asking this supercomputer for the answer to the ultimate question, life, the universe, and everything. And it can't give a good response. 42. It's what we today understand as a bad prompt. If you give an AI a bad instruction, it's going to give you a bad answer. It's not going to be helpful. The more generic your question, the more generic your answer would be. Or, in other words, trash in, trash out. In the sermon series, we're going to talk about how technology, and especially artificial intelligence, is changing our world. And we're going to consider a Christian response to this. Again, what once was science fiction is step by step becoming reality. That supercomputer, again, in a book written in 1979, was just imagination. It was just like possibly one day people will come to this. Well, now it's pretty close to reality. ChatGPT and many other forms of AI have made their ways onto our phones, into our workspaces, social media. And perhaps some of us have even used it to write an essay, maybe, I don't know. AI is making its way into every part of our lives. And what we've seen so far is only the beginning. So what experts say about this is that if artificial intelligence doesn't develop any further than what it is today, which is very unlikely, it will still change the world as we know it forever. All of us, in one way or another, have been and will continue to be impacted by this AI revolution. And so I think it's about time that we talk about it. AI is not only changing the way that we live, I think over time it will really also change the way that people see the world, the way that we see ourselves, the way that we see each other, and how we see the future. And so this is where it begins to really collide with theology as well. The reason I started this teaching series with the story of the Tower of Babel is because it kind of points to the human desire to improve life, to improve this world on our own terms. We'll get deeper into that story later. You have to be patient with me in exploring that Bible passage a little bit more. But what I want to suggest is that the Tower of Babel is a really early example of a bad prompt as well. Humans kind of set out to build a tower reaching to the heavens. They want to make a name for themselves. But it ends in chaos and in confusion. The bad motivation behind this endeavor results in a confusing outcome. Trash in, and there's trash out. This is also why the series is called Artificial Inheritance, because we're going to discuss together the question, what is this all going to lead to? How is this AI revolution going to change life as we know it? What does that mean? What is its inheritance going to be? What are its promises, purposes, side effects? And how do we as followers of Jesus relate to that? Now, before we're going to go into all of it, I just want to take you through some of the resources I've been exploring to show you that I've really done my best to prepare. And also, maybe if you want to dig into this a little bit further, if you have just a bunch of questions around this, just recommending some resources that might help you. The first one is this. It's called Made in Our Image. I think it's a brilliant title. So it's this idea that artificial intelligence is made in the image of human beings. We're made in the image of God, but AI is made in the image of humans. Very insightful, very accessible Christian discussion of AI. This is like start here. Like, this is where I started. I was really thankful for that. Start here if you want to read more. Another book that's not a start here, that's more like, okay, he's drilling down on this pretty deeply. John C. Lennox, who's a well-known scientist and apologist. The book 2084, so this is a well-known book from 1948, that is called 1984. If you don't know it, I'm not going to explain it now, but this is more like one century later, what is gonna change? So he's engaged with a number of very interesting developments and thought processes behind AI. Very, very helpful, but deep and dense book. Another book is AI Goes to Church by Ted Corbett. Look at his smile. Don't you want to read his book? Accessible, a little bit more lengthy, more theological than the first book I recommended. It's very, very helpful. Last book is this one, The Coming Wave. This is not a Christian book, secular book by one of the co-founders of DeepMind, a leading AI company that was bought by Google in 2014. This guy's main purpose in this book is to point to the need for the containment of AI, sort of, and the whole book is about sort of or else. So quite helpful. In this four-part series, going to spend four Sundays on this, also meaning that I'm not going to be able to address every little thing in this one sermon. Today I'm going to give a broader sort of bigger concept introduction message. Next week, I want to dig down a little bit more on the social dynamics and impact. Then the week after, we'll talk about living tech-wise. And then on the last Sunday, Alex will preach on how not to be discipled by algorithms, but instead by the Word of God and the Spirit. And it works a little bit like a funnel, so we're starting very broad, big picture, and we're going to get more and more towards sort of personal engagement with AI and its impact on our everyday lives. So, you ready? Looking forward? You curious? WonderWorks coming next? Yeah, good. My heart is that we go out just better informed and better equipped about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives as our world is rapidly changing. And whether we like it or not, agree with it or not, artificial intelligence already has and is going to have more and more impact on our everyday lives. So let's talk about it. Let's look at it. AI is not just the newest technological developments that humans have come up with. There's a little bit more coming up, going on. So you could look like back at the history, like, oh, at one point they started using horses in farming and had a huge impact, and they're wondering about job loss, but actually it really helped wealth and everything. Or you can look at the printing press, or you can look at the Industrial Revolution, or you can look at the internet, and things like that, developments like that, that at first were like, oh, what is this going to do? And then, oh, right, actually, they really seem to improve life in many ways. There's always side effects, there's always initial job loss, and then actually the world's becoming a better and better place. Some of that is going on with artificial intelligence as well. But there's a little bit more going on than that, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Artificial intelligence is like giving a computer a brain. It allows computers to do tasks that normally would require human intelligence, not just effort and time, but it would require human intelligence, such as understanding what people say, recognizing objects in pictures, making decisions, learning from past experiences. So to understand the potential for the future of AI for the future a little bit, we need to talk about different shapes it comes in. And the first shape is narrow AI. This is today's AI designed to handle highly specific tasks, mostly functioning through large language models, for example, ChatGPT, horrible name. My goodness, let's call him ChatGPT, okay? ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, things like that. So narrow AI is getting used in all kinds of things that we interact with daily, knowingly or unknowingly, from artificial personal assistants to kind of planning tools, algorithms behind social media and streaming platforms, things like that. Today's AI is able to write, design, plan, interact, research, compose, you name it. It can pretty much do everything that humans do, not always better, but certainly faster. So chatbots, like ChatGPT, are trained by reading hundreds of billions of words that are downloaded from the internet. They read millions of books, as much news as they can access, billions of lines of code, and reading all of Wikipedia three times over. ChatGPT is able to do more than just an advanced Google search on a certain topic. It is also able to interact with you, respond to you, and you feel like you're connecting with another human being. Then there's general AI, or AGI, and that is tomorrow's AI. It's the next logical step in this technological evolution, where systems can perform a broad array of cognitive human tasks. So this is what companies are investing their energy in, their money in, their resources in, because they can smell the potential. This is also where the self-learning capacity of AI comes in. So narrow AI can only do what it's programmed to do and within certain parameters, but AGI would have the ability to perform new tasks outside of its original context. So without human intervention. So in the very near future, your chatbot is not only able to pick up that you are feeling down and that you're a little bit sad, it might also decide by itself to order you some Ben and Jerry's, which is not the worst thing that could happen, I guess. But then there's another step, and that is super AI. At the moment, just a theoretical future stage, not within reach, not happening anytime soon, but who knows, where intelligence really surpasses human capability. It's able to exist without the need of human intervention and oversight, and futurists hypothesize that machines in this stage will also be self-aware. So in this future, humans are no longer the most powerful and intelligent beings on the planet, but instead machines are. Kind of a scary future. So this guy, Mustafa Suleiman, in the coming age? No, what does it say? Coming wave. It says this: I believe this coming wave of technology is bringing human history to a turning point. In if containing it is possible, the consequences for our if containing it is impossible, the consequences for our species are dramatic and potentially dire. So this is a guy who was like with his nose in the like the first like AI that was self-learning, right? This the developing deep mind. So he knows what is happening. He understands a little bit of that potential. And he says the potential of AI is so incredibly big, we have to find a way to contain it. So we're talking about something incredibly powerful. An incredibly powerful technology that will impact every area of society. Again, whether we like it or not. It's speeding up, for example, biomedical research. So there's some breakthroughs happening, going to happen. I can't really keep track. I don't want to interfere with any of your fields where you know a lot more. But what I understood is that it's speeding up our ability to diagnose a disease or even to cure diseases. And I think many of you are in some way part of developing these kinds of AIs that are improving life in circumstances. It's already impacting the workspace, where many jobs are made redundant. And simultaneously, it's creating new opportunities for innovative businesses and stuff like that. I expect that many of us are experiencing how it's changing our work lives already. And so here it's a little bit of a mixed bag, perhaps. And it's also used by totalitarian governments to control their population. It's already happening. Tracking their movements, tracking their interactions. So it's clearly got the potential for good, for evil, and for mixed results, so to say. And that is why we need to talk about it. In the book Made in Our Image, Driscoll makes clear that AI is still a human intervention driven by human data and used by humans who are damaged by sin. Humans are created in the image of God, able to work, able to create, able to problem solve, and distinct right from wrong, mostly. But the image of God got corrupted by sin. So AI is something created in our image, in the image of humans, which means that it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. It can have good and evil effects at the same time. And is itself also damaged by sin. You could say that AI enhances the whole human capacity for both good and for evil. And he says this: AI is the most incredibly complex computational mirror. We can see ourselves in its reflection. It shows us our deepest values and mirrors our basest actions. What we see in that mirror should terrify us and teach us. And this is why I want to turn to the story of Babel. Story of the Tower of Babel is a story of rebellion against God Almighty. It's not just a big city with a high tower that seems impressive and God is getting annoyed with their cocky attitude or something like that and decides to mess up their plans. Notice there's a little bit more that's going on here. The people at Babel built an alternative holy mountain. In this time, people were worshiping God or the gods mostly, on mountains. And so here you see humans building an alternative holy mountain in defiance of God Almighty. They're making a name for themselves. It's an act of a sort of a religion-powered rebellion against God, of idolatry. They say, we don't need you. We can do this ourselves. We can overcome the limitations of our fallenness and our lostness, the limitations of this broken world in our own way and on our own terms. And so God looks down and he says, wait. They speak one language. They can do all these things. Like he sees the potential of what is happening. And he says, nothing will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand each other's speech. And so the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth. God, seeing the great danger of this attitude, decides to confuse their language to spread the people all over the world. It's not that God's power is threatened by their actions, not at all. But he sees their potential for self-destruction and decides to intervene. There was a tremendous potential in what they were doing, what they set their minds to. But they knew that they were going to give it a bad prompt and that the outcome would potentially be disastrous as well. And that is why he intervened. And this is my main concern with this whole AI wave of technological development and how it's impacting our everyday lives. It's such mind-boggling potential. I'm convinced that we, as humanity, are going to give it some bad prompts as well, leading to some very seriously worrying results as well. I'm going to give you five bad prompts that I think humanity is going to give artificial intelligence. I hope you're able to track with this metaphor. The first one is bad actors. Not meaning that, you know, in the future AI will develop movies that we're going to sit and watch. You were like, oh, this is bad acting. People that are using this for evil. So there's a huge concern around AI that it enables some really bad people to do some really bad things. Artificial intelligence gives humanity the power to do a bunch of things at a higher scale and at a lower cost. Higher skill, lower costs. It's just easier to do something really, really evil. The second bad prompt, I think, is that AI has the potential to go rogue. Don't want to spend too much time on this, but just like the long-term development of this technology holds the potential for disastrous outcomes. So Sulaiman warns against that. He says AI is both valuable and dangerous precisely because it's an extension of our best and our worst selves. And as a technology premised on learning, so self-learning, the capacity to self-learn, it can keep adapting, probing, producing novel strategies and ideas potentially far removed from anything before considered, even by other AIs. So AI itself, outside of the human control, has the potential to go rogue. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's way above my pay grade. But I do want to talk about, for example, the social impact. We're going to spend more time on that next week. It holds in itself a threat on a society level. For the average well-meaning, you know, not bad actor type of person that's just interacting with AI. Again, more on that next week. But our interaction with AI has the potential to deform, has the potential to deform our connection with other human beings and corrupt our capacity, our expectations, and functioning in authentic relationships. More on that next week. God created us to live in relationship with him and in relationship with others. And technology has the potential to deeply distort both. Let me just briefly say, I didn't know 20 years ago when I downloaded Facebook on my newly bought smartphone, how impactful this would be. I had no flipping clue. Yeah? And I think we're at a similar point with technology that has much bigger potential to impact social interaction and life as we know it. So that's why I'm like I didn't know how forming and deforming social media would be. By the way, love the social media team. Just want to say that they've been doing so well. Fourth bad prompt. In time, you're going to get deployed AI, but unfulfilled humans. Think that if we give all our creative work away, our writing, our designing, our planning, our studying, our composing, we're going to end up in a beautifully designed world feeling deeply unhappy, right? God created us to work. God created us to be creative. If we're going to give all of that away, we're going to be deeply unfulfilled. If we give this away for an artificially designed, beautiful, perfect result, we'll end up in a beautifully designed dystopian world of meaninglessness. Last one, false promises. I simply don't believe that AI and technological developments are going to deliver on their promises, because humans cannot save themselves, only God can. So that's what I'll give the rest of this talk to. AI and other technologies, in a way, promising us a future of improving life conditions. So Driscoll says this: artificial intelligence, perhaps more than any other technology ever invented, is the focal point for the heavenly hopes and dreams of the scientifically inclined. It offers another huge leap in human technological capacity. So the motivation in many of the human brains behind the sort of the frontline AI advancement, their motivation is this promise of a world of greater wealth, health, and freedom, right? Ever-improving life conditions for everyone. And what drives this thing forward is a future promise of endless possibilities, of more free time, of better healthcare, and all of these things. But I'm afraid that this expectation is a sort of like a secular salvation myth that won't be able to deliver on that promise. Like the Tower of Babel, it seems like there is a hope to escape the brokenness of this world through what humans can do together. We're going to make a name for ourselves, but it's not going to be able to deliver on those promises. God responds, nothing will be impossible for them, and that is not a good thing. Is a potential for disaster. And this is, I think, how we need to view our changing world through AI as well. There is a way that we can come to technological advancement with the heart of worship to God, saying, let me use my gifts and my potential and my what is available to me in technology to seek the well-being of people, to help the needy, to seek human flourishment. Absolutely. And many of us are involved in this right now or kind of working towards a world where that's happening. So God bless you. In a way, like, it's a product of human creativity, and therefore you could say it is a gift from God, because, you know, God created us creatively to create. And it can be used in beautiful and wonderful ways, 100%. But there's also a way that we can come to this and come to this moment of technological development in defiance against God. And that is also happening. We don't need you. We will improve things on earth in our own way and on our own terms. You see, the worldview that's driving this forward is atheism, is a world that doesn't need God, a world that can make its way out of its brokenness on its own terms and in its own way, saying, God, we don't need you, we will do it by ourselves. And so at a deeper level in the philosophies and worldviews that drive it forward towards AGI or, who knows, super AI, there's even the desire to upgrade humans into gods, eradicating aging as a cause of death, upgrading our minds through technology, merging with machines to bring about a new earth with no need for a heaven. And so my conclusion is that AI is going to have some incredible benefits and can be used in beautiful and exciting ways. Absolutely. And I know that many of us here are going to have a very positive impact in this tech world as well. But I'm afraid that humanity is also going to give AI some really bad prompts, because humans are corrupted by sin. We ask it to improve wealth, health, and freedom, and it will give us some of that, but we'll be corrupted, it will be tainted, and there will be some very confusing outcomes as well, because it is not going to offer what only God can offer. So for today, let me end with this. Where is our hope? You know, if we need to reject this sort of secular salvation myth of technology that's going to improve everything always, if we're going to discern our way through this coming wave of AI developments and impact, what is the truth that we most deeply hold on to? Simply said, it's that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Ultimately, God intervened in this way, that the Creator God became flesh and dwelt among us, becoming a human being in the midst of this lost and broken world. And Jesus lives life as God intended it, in intimacy with God, in authentic relationship with others, and he heals the sick, and he multiplies food, and he teaches the way that God intended us to live, to find our fulfillment in him, but also being able to walk through suffering, the suffering of this broken world, in faithfulness. And he took our sin upon himself when he died on the cross, conquering over sin and over death and over the devil, and was raised on the third day to life, never to die again. And in this way, he opened the door for us to live a new life in God's way as well, and live eternally with him when he returns to make all things new. This is the hope we have. This is the story of salvation that has become our story. And this is the good news we have for an anxious world asking a supercomputer for the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. Amen.